All right, thank you for being a part of our study. We are here trying to understand the will of Yahweh, what He has planned for us, and what He has called us to do. Okay, we are studying the thousand-year reign, the millennium reign of peace. Amen. We've studied already in the past about Armageddon and all the things that will happen before we begin the thousand-year reign, and we found out that there'll be Armageddon, there'll be a war, people will die, and then we talked about that Lucifer's thrown in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, the whole time that we're reigning. We also found out that the prophet, the beast, and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire, so that we see that they're two different locations, they're not the same. The bottomless pit is not the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is not the bottomless pit. Okay, so as we moved on, we realized that after this war that we're going to reign for 1,000 years, the issue have been, where will we reign? Are we going to reign on earth? Are we reigning in heaven? Are we reigning over angels in heaven? Because if we go to heaven, that's the only people we can reign over. We can't reign over people. Or are we going to reign on the earth and reign over people? Okay, so that's where we are, and that's what we've been trying to understand, get a better grasp of. Okay, so now that we understand that, we're going to move forward. Okay, so we had looked in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, and it says, as clear as day, I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign. Now the question is, who's this king and when shall he reign? Okay, he said, go bring, and this is Jeremiah, so this is after Solomon, so it can't be Solomon, can't be David, can't be any of them. Okay, and have we had any kings since then? No, in the time of Jeremiah, we're talking about Babylonian captivity, that we go into Babylonian captivity under Hezekiah's reign. I mean, not Hezekiah's, Zedekiah's reign. Okay. And we see here, so there hasn't been any king ruling over Jerusalem since then, except for the Christian, you know, popes and them guys, you know, who claim that they took over, all that nonsense. Okay. Then it says, and what is this king? The king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness. Where? In the earth. Make sure you got that clear. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6 says, he will what? Execute judgment. That's what we're talking about. The thousand-year reign. We'll live and reign with him. Okay? And we shall execute judgment. Okay? Where does it say? In the earth. So all of this is going to be happening on planet earth, not in heaven. Okay? And in Revelation 3, we said, verse 21, to him who overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Where is this throne? His throne is going to be on the earth. That's what we read already. Okay? And it says, him that overcometh. So if you don't be an overcomer, you're not going to be sitting on the throne. Overcome what? Overcome self, overcome the world, overcome these things. And the only way you can overcome them is going through the time of trouble to see what we are made of or what we aren't made of. And so that's why we already realized that the Bible told us that we will have to suffer, overcomers. Okay, now what does that mean? To him who overcometh, Revelation 3:21, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. So we'll be able to sit with him and reign with him only if we are overcomers as he was. And he had to go through hell. He had to go through everything. People were against him. Everybody, you know. So this is what we'll have to go through. Okay. Then we saw in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, judgment was given, was committed to them, that I, and then I saw the souls of them who were beheaded for their witness of Yeshua. and for the word of Elohim. So we see that these thrones, I saw them that sat on the throne, and judgment was given to them and committed to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. So those are the ones who will be beheaded for the word of Elohim. That's who we're talking about. And who else in verse 4? Who had not worshipped the beast nor his image. So it seems like these are the people that will be living in the last days that will die. Or they're all the righteous, really. Okay? That have lived and had not received the mark on their forehead nor on their hands. And they lived and reigned with the Messiah. How long? 1,000 years. So these are all the righteous people, as I would see it from the beginning of time. And in verse 5, we read, but the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So here we hear for the first time, we hear about something that's called the first what? Resurrection. Okay, so the people who have gone through the first resurrection, or who come up in the first resurrection, are the righteous. Okay? So if you don't come up in the first resurrection, you're not part of the righteous. Okay? And these people will live and reign with the Messiah for 1,000 years. And okay, so we see clear as day that this is the first resurrection. Then we find out it says, who are, what happens to these people? It says, blessed and holy. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. So the catch is, what do we have to be part? Part of the first resurrection. And it's all the righteous from the time of Adam and Eve all the way to the end. So there's not going to be any more resurrections until 1,000 years are finished. So blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection, for such second death hath no power over him. So that means that there's the first death that we regularly die. Everyone is born, and then everyone must die. And so everyone who dies, then that's our first death. Now it says blessed and holy those who come up in the first resurrection because they don't have a second death. Death has no power over them. So that would have to be all the righteous from the time of Adam until the end. Until those that had received the mark of the beast and were beheaded because they refused to receive the mark of the beast in the last days. But they shall be priests to Elohim and of the Messiah. So it makes it clear here that we will be priests. Priests doing what? Now what is a priest's job? A priest's job is to intercede for his people. So, between him and Elohim. So, in the past, we had the Messiah, who was our high priest. We read that in the book of Hebrews. He's our high priest, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now, after the during the thousand-year reign, it says we have different priests. It didn't say we had one priest. And back in Hebrews, it says we have one priest. We don't have many priests. One priest who's our high priest, which was Yeshua. Okay? So now what we have here is another priesthood. Now this is not the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. This is the priesthood of Yahweh and his people that have come up in the first resurrection. And they shall be priests of Elohim and of the Messiah. And they shall reign with him 1,000 years. So it's clear of who will be reigning during this 1,000-year reign. Then, when we read in Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 14, let's turn there. Zechariah 14. And verse 14. Okay, what does it say? And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Okay, so it lets us know that what's going to happen during the thousand-year reign, that the wealth of the nations will be brought to his people. Also, let's look at verse number 11, still chapter 14. And it says, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Mm-hmm. So what do we have here? We have the Gentiles bringing up all their gold and silver to his people, to Yahweh. And then we have that there will be no longer any destruction. The people shall dwell safely. Okay. Then we read in verse 16, still Zechariah chapter 14. We're reading verse 16. And it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Mm-hmm. So, there are some live people on the planet that are alive after the war, the Battle of Armageddon. And it says, and it shall come to pass, everyone who is left of all the nations. Well, wait a minute. I know we first said that all the nations, we read in Zechariah chapter 14, all the nations shall come up against Jerusalem to make war. And we also read in Revelation 19 that there's this battle of Armageddon where everybody, all the nations gather together to fight against Yahweh and his army. And they lose. We know that. But it makes mention that the army loses. Now, some people teach that when Yeshua comes the second time, when he comes to fight, when he comes to break the cloud, which some people call the secret rapture, which isn't any, but when he comes the second time, at the end of the war, he wipes out the army. Now, some people teach that when he comes the second time, he wipes out everybody on the planet, and there's nobody left. But that's not what the scripture said. Matter of fact, it makes it clear here. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against you. So now we're talking about the average person, the average Joe Blow, who's home, minding his own business. He might not even agree with the war. But his nation went up, they fought, and they lost. And so it's left everybody else. The common people are the ones that are left here. And now they have no more army. They can no longer fight. So what do? They surrender, right? So you surrender, and who are you surrendering to? Yeshua. You're surrendering to the Messiah. You're surrendering to the righteous people who's going to now live and reign on the earth. And that's what you want to submit to. You don't want to submit to barbarians. But that's what we've had. So it makes mention that all the nations shall come up, the people that are left, shall go up from year to year to worship the King. Every year we're going to come up and worship. We're going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So there we go. The Feast of Tabernacles is in the 7th month from the 15th day to the 22nd day. That's when you dwell in booths. So that means we will be having tents. Everybody will have it. Some call it tent meetings. Camp meeting, I guess. Whatever you want to call it. But we're coming up to worship y'all on the Feast of Tabernacles. This is part of the thousand-year reign. This is what the thousand-year reign is about. So we're going to be priests during this time. So now we know who we're going to be priests to, everyone who's left. So remember, we're going to be like ambassadors. Yeshua makes mention of a parable that he says that he went forth and he left the city and he appointed some people different things. So he gave one person 10 talents, another person 5 talents, another person 1 talent. And he says, you know, use him and he'd come back. And when he came back, the one that had the 10 talents, he made 20 talents. The other one who had 5 talents, he made 10 talents. The one who had 2 talents, he said he didn't do anything. He just put it in the grave, in the dirt, and here's your talent back. And so he's told the one that had the 10 talents, he said, here, I'm giving you 10 cities. Now, what does he mean by that? He's giving them 10 cities. That means that he will be ruling over 10 cities. That's what it means. We're going to be ambassadors for the Messiah. The Bible tells us that we're ambassadors today. Okay? We are his ambassadors. We're his representative on the earth in true righteousness. Not what's going on in churches today. No. That's not what we're talking about. That he will be able to teach us and we will be training of people correctly. And so when we talk about this particular time frame, this thousand-year reign that we will be reigning and living with him, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be training and teaching people about Yahweh. Some people will have five cities, some will be mayors, some will be governors, some will be over cities, some will be maybe presidents over nations, all type of positions that we will hold to teach people righteousness. Well, at this time, let's take a break and let's hear from our sponsors.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Dental Repair is a dental repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Dental Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
Phenomenal.
thank you for coming back, being part of this study. Okay, now we have it very clear from scriptures that we are going to be reigning on the earth over the people who are left on the earth from the battle of Armageddon. It's crystal clear. I mean, there's no, we ain't reigning in heaven. I know everybody wants to go to heaven and have his, what do you want? You want to have his paradise? You want to have his castle? Whatever. That ain't happening. Okay, so let's read on to get a better feel of what the Bible is telling us. Okay, we read verse 16. Now let's look at verse 17 and 18. This is Zechariah again. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Now, some people might say, well, listen, Emmanuel, you read the Old Testament. That stuff already happened. Now, can you tell me any time when we had a righteous king dwell on the earth and run the planet for 1,000 years? No. So please, that is not true. Don't let nobody fool you and making you think that it's something else. Okay? Let's just make sure that we understand. Okay? So he says that we should come up and worship Yahweh year by year. Okay? All right? And it says, and those nations that shall not come up, even upon them shall be no rain. So he says he's going to not give rain if you don't come up to worship. Okay, verse number 18. And if the families of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come up, that come not up, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So, he says if you don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles, you're not going to get any rain. If you don't come up to worship Yahweh, you're not going to get any rain. And if you'll come up to Feast of Tabernacles, he says that he will strike you with a what? A plague. Did you hear that? Okay. What type of plague is he going to smite you with? Very interesting. They, and we're going to read 18 and 19 again, and they shall receive the plague, okay? Okay, and it says, verse 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So he lets us know that you're supposed to come up to worship him in verse number 17, and if you don't get any rain. And then he says that you're supposed to come up to the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you don't come up, he's going to smite you with a plague. Okay? This will be the punishment of all nations that will not come up to worship Yahweh. Okay? Let's see what else it says. Okay? Let's turn to Micah chapter 4, verse 1. This is Micah. Chapter 4, and we're looking at verse number 1. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established. All right, what's going to happen? The house of the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountain. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. So we just read that everybody's going to come up and worship Yahweh. So everybody's going to be coming up to what? Worship Yahweh, and everybody's going to flow to it. Now remember, it shall come to pass in the latter days, and it shall be exalted, and the people shall flow unto it. Who's going to flow unto all of this? Let's see. Verse 2 says, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yah, and to the house of Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. What is going on? Oh, there we go. This is the job of the priest. All right, we will be priests unto him, and it says, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Here we go. It's clear as day. He says, what's going to happen? That people are going to come up to the mountain that we read about, to the house of Yahweh, and he will teach us his way. And we will walk in his paths. So he needs priests. He needs people who can teach the people his ways. Who can teach the people how to walk in the paths of Yahweh. For the law shall go from Zion. And the word from Jerusalem. Amen. Notice what verse 3 says. And he shall judge among many people. And rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. That means that they're going to be plowing now. Instead of the things killing people, you're going to be plowing up the ground. Amen. And their spears into pruning hooks. That means pruning hooks. That means that's what you hook up fish with and so forth. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. So there will be no more armies. He will dismantle all armies. There will be no more military schools where you go to, you know, the Navy schools and all of these other schools. There will be no more any of that. Okay? Now notice what it was saying. He says that he shall rule, judge, and rebuke. Okay? Who's he ruling, judging, and rebuking? It says that he will judge between many people. So that's what he will have. He will have us as his judges. We will have true judgment. We will no longer have a judging of bribes and paying like that. No, that will be over. And we shall rebuke strong nations afar off. So these nations that are superpowers today, Russia, America, Europe, and all these other places, that are, you know, attacking people and all of these different things. He says he's going to rebuke them, and that will end. There will only be one person who's ruling the earth. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. That means they're going to be plowing, no more swords. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So there's not going to be any more wars. There's not going to be any more standing armies. Everyone will live at peace. Remember, this is a 1,000-year reign. Where's Lucifer? In the bottomless pit. So that he cannot deceive us anymore to make wars and bribe us into anything. Okay? Now, what else does it say? Let's look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse number 14. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse number 14. And it reads, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Elohim. Excuse me. As the waters cover the earth. As the waters cover the sea. Let's take a break at this time. And let's hear from our sponsors, and we'll come right back.
dwellers. Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
May not play like a maestro, sing like a diva, don't know the book like a scholar, sometimes in my step there's a falter, but in my heart I am praying before his glory.
Okay, we're back. All right, so we've been reading Habakkuk. We ended up with Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. We found out that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh as the seas cover the earth. So who's going to spread this good news? Who's going to give this gospel of the kingdom? Okay, so let's read Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. Let's see what Isaiah has to say about all of this. Isaiah chapter 11, starting at verse number 6. Okay, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, which is the goat, or the child, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatlings together, and little children shall lead them. Okay, so what are we saying here? What is the Bible saying here? That the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Now we know today we have the wolf eating the lamb, right? And we have the leopards that shall lay down with the goats. And we know leopards eat goats. Then we have the calves shall be with the young lions. And we know the lions eat calves. And the fatlings and the little children shall lead them. So we have children who are going to be leading lions, wolves, and leopards. And they're not going to be eating each other, so they're not going to be carnivorous. That sounds like to me. Sounds like everybody will be busy. We're not eating our animals, okay? That's not what's happening. No matter how much you love to eat them, you're not going to eat them. They're your friends, matter of fact. You'll play with them. All right, what else does it say? Verse number 7. The cow and the bear shall feast. The young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Okay, there we go. The lions are now vegetarian. And the suckling children shall play on the hole of the asp or the viper. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the crocodile's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of Elohim, as the waters cover the sea. So we read earlier that the knowledge of Yahweh is going to be everywhere. But it's not just going to be everywhere for humans. They're going to be everywhere for the animals. For we see the animals are living together. They're not killing each other. We found out that the cow and the bear shall graze together. We found out that the young ones, our little ones, shall lie down. And with the what? With the lions. And the lions shall eat straw. The nursing children shall play on the copperheads hole. The poisonous vipers, the snake. That's where we'll be playing. The little children will be playing there. And they're not going to bite them and kill them. And the weaned children shall put his hands on the viper's den. So he's going to be playing with their little, you know, their little snakes, I guess, or their little eggs, who knows. And they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Now, I know when people read this verse before, they thought, oh, man, we're going to be able to live in heaven, and we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to, you know, live with the eye, with the lions, and the leopards. No. That's not what that said. It said clear in verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. So that means this is the earth. All of these things that we thought we were going to be doing in heaven are not going to happen in heaven. They're going to be happening on earth. Now, where in the earth? Now, you might think that this is happening all around the planet. No, this is not happening all around the planet. This is only, he says, he clarified. He says this will only happen on his holy mountain. Now, okay, what does that mean? Okay, so when he comes back to live and reign with us for 1,000 years, he's going to bring down his city. He's going to put a city here. And I think he says it's 400 square or something. I did some little calculations. My calculations might not be as good as some. But it goes all the way down to Ethiopia in Africa. And it goes far north. And it goes into India and China. It goes over all of these places. Jerusalem will be the center. And it's going to go all the way and extend all the way into Africa. This city. It's a huge city. Well, I mean, you know, you got people from the beginning of time to now. So, yeah. And so this city will have mountains and stuff in it. And it says inside of this city will no one be able to come and destroy in this holy hill. Okay. So this is only happening outside, inside of his city. That becomes very important that we understand that. Okay. Now, let's also read Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 3. Zechariah chapter 8, and we're at verse number 3. And it reads, thus saith Yahweh, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. It sure ain't today. And the mountains of Yahweh of Hosts, the Holy Mountain. Okay, so what do we have here? He says, clear as day, that it's going to be learned. This is going to be what? The City of Truth. So, do we have a City of Truth today? Doubt it. Let's read on. We're going to read verses, still chapter 8. We're going to be reading verse 21 and 22. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 21 and 22. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before Yah, and to seek Yahweh of hosts, and I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come and seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before Yahweh. So there we go. We have it clear as day that people, what are they going to say? Let us go up to pray before Yahweh. Let us seek Yahweh of hosts. So now these people are saying, hey, I need to be taught. I need to be trained. I need to understand Yahweh. We seek him. We want to follow his ways. And seek Yahweh of hosts, I myself will also go. Yes, many people and strong nations shall seek Yahweh of hosts. And so that will be our job, to train these people up, because they're now what? Seeking Yahweh of hosts. Now that's usually, you know, the situation that happens. You know, you get conquered and then you, you know, follow what the people say. All right, let's read verse number 23. We read 21 through 22. 23 says, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the language of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that calleth himself a Jew, or Hebrew, really, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you. So this is the time that people are just going to be coming to us saying, wait, from many nations. It says, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nation. So that means different people from all over the planet are going to be coming and shall grab hold of you and say, grab hold of a Hebrew man saying, let us go with you, for we have heard of Elohim. So that's what we're supposed to be witnesses today, so that people can say, hey, we want to follow Yahweh. We see that you, and this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to go during this 1,000 years. Because the people, I mean, if all these churches were teaching the truth today, then we wouldn't need this. But they ain't teaching the truth. So he says he's going to take 1,000 years, and he's going to train people in the way of Yahweh. That's going to be exciting, as we might call it. What else is going to happen? All right, Isaiah chapter 60. Let's look at verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 60. And we're going to be looking at verse number 10. Okay, what does it say? And the sons of strangers shall build up thy wall, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote them, but in my favor I had mercy on them. So he says, what's going to happen? That the foreigners, the sons of foreigners, okay, they shall build our walls. So they will be our, you know what, our carpenters, they'll be our architects, they'll rebuild for us. And the things that we had happen, our heritage and all our lineage that has been stolen, that will be rewritten, so that we might be able to understand who we are. And their kings shall minister to you. So you're not just going to be, kings are going to come to you and give you what you do. They're going to minister unto you. They're going to take care of you. For my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have mercy upon you. All right, we're going to take our last break. And when we finish, we'll come back. Yeah.
kingdom dwellers. Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
May not play like a maestro, sing like a diva, don't know the book like a scholar, sometimes in my step there's a falter, but in my heart I am praying before his glory.
Okay, we're back. All right. Now, remember, we are studying the thousand-year reign. This is during the thousand-year reign. This is not after the thousand-year reign. This is not before the thousand-year reign. This is the thousand-year reign. We will be relating with him. They will bring us their goldenness. So the foreigners will come to us. They will want to learn from us. Okay, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Now, Isaiah 60 through 66. It tells you the whole plan. And we're going to be going through verses and verses and verses of it because it just tells you everything. Okay, so let's see what it says here in Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 5 and 6. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock. What? You don't even have to feed your flock. They will feed them for you. And the sons of the alien shall plow your shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. This sounds good. Hey, now we got them working for us. Mm-hmm. But remember, we're living, and what are we doing? Reigning over them. Now, when you're reigning over people, that means you're the knights, you're the kings, you're this and that. So, of course, they're going to be doing that, right? You're not going to be doing that. You don't know any kings and knights doing that today. but ye shall be named the priest of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Elohim. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. So notice this. It says, what's going to happen? The strangers and the foreigners shall serve us. Amen. It's about time this thing changed up. Their sons are going to be the sons of the foreigners. Shall be our plowmen. So they're going to be doing the farms. They're going to be plowing the land. They're going to be one fixing up the trees and all of those wonderful things. But ye, and what shall we do? And we shall be named the priests of Yahweh. Now what do priests do? Priests intercede between their creator, their God, and the people. And that's what we'll be. We'll be the intercessor, training them, teaching them. They shall call you the servants of your Elohim. There we go. We will be servants, true servants of Elohim. We will know what it means, and everyone will know that you're not taking a bribe. They will know that you are not wicked. They will know that you are now living under a righteous king, Yeshua the Messiah. And you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Okay, let's read verse number 11 still. And we're in chapter, we just read 61, so now we're going to read chapter 60, verse 11. Therefore, thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut, day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Okay, so what do we have here? It says that the gates of the city. So, oh, wow. So now we're finally talking about the city in the book of Revelation. The city will come down, no question. And we will be able to, because he's setting up his kingdom. So he'll set up his kingdom. The city will come down. And it says the gates shall never be what? Closed. They shall be open continually. And what's going to happen? This is day or night. They shall not be shut. And men, the Gentiles, shall bring their wealth and lay them at the city gate. Now, they never said they're going to enter the city. Notice that. They're going to come and bring their wealth, the Gentiles, the people we're training and we're teaching. This is very important as we go through. You'll be able to see different things. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 62, verse 10. Now, in this also, we find that what gates are we talking about? When you read in Revelation, he tells you that that there'll be no need for a sun nor a moon. And that it won't be, he is the light. So that means there's no need for sun or moon. Sound like going to be light continuous. Okay? Then it says, notice Isaiah 62, go through. Go through the gates. Let me think if I think I got this song. Go through. I'll think about it. I think I lost it. go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up the standard for the people. There it is. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stone, lift up the standard for the people. When they shall call him the holy people, the redeemed of Yahweh, the redeemed of Yahweh, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of Yahweh. Isaiah 62, 10 and 12. Amen. I got the song. Thank you. I might not be a maestro, but, I tried. Okay. So he tells us that we're going to go through the gates. And we got to prepare the way for the people. We got to build up the highways. We got to cast out the stone, the stumbling blocks, and lift up the standard for the people. So what is the gate? Well, he says straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to what? To holiness, to righteousness. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in there. So we got to clean out the roads. Okay, this is the roads to teaching of where we're going. Build up the highways so that it can be easily accessible for people, and take out the stones. And that's what we are. We're stumbling stones. So we got to take all these stumbling stones out of the way so that people can lift up the banner for Yahweh. So it has a spiritual meaning and a physical meaning. Isaiah chapter 62. Verse number 10. Isaiah 62. Verse number 10. What does it say? Go through the gates. I just read that. It seems like. Oh, did I read 62? Yep. All right. Sorry about that. Now we're going to compare that to Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation chapter 21, what do we have? We're going to read verse 23 and 24. Revelation chapter 21, verses 23 and 24. Okay, what does it say? And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of Elohim did light, and the Lamb is the light. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring glory and honor to it. Now, we've just read earlier that the Gentiles and the foreigners are going to bring all their gold and silver. Now, here in Revelation, it tells us the exact same thing. And they're going to lay it at the gate. That's what we read in Isaiah. It says the city had no need for a sun or a moon to shine in it, for Yahweh is the glory that illuminates it. The Lamb is the light. The nations of those who are saved. Those who are saved, catch that word, those who are the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor to it. It didn't say that they entered it. It said that they will bring their glory and honor to it. Now, when we read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 16 and 17, let's see the dimensions of this thing. Okay, the city that he shall bring down, it says, verse 16, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. That means it's, you know, rectangular, like a cube. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlong, the length and the breadth. And the height of it are equal. And he measured the walls thereof, 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Okay, so what are we saying here? The city lies like a square, like a cube. Its length, or its length, which we call the length and its breadth, which is the width and the length, and the height, are all measured in a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Now, calculation is 1,500 miles. So, its length and breadth and its height are equal. I did a rectangular circle. I took a compass and put it in the middle of Jerusalem, and it measured out 1,500 miles. And like I said, it took in Egypt, went into Africa, all of that area. That's what we're talking about. Interesting that this is what is happening. Okay, so, let me see here. I have my map in front of me. Sorry, you guys can't see it. Hey, y'all can see it. Y'all get the tape. There it is. Egypt. down into Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Iraq, Iran, takes in all of that area. So that's how large the city is going to be. Takes it in. Huge city. Okay, zoom in a little closer. We're talking about Syria, isn't it? Cairo, Jordan, Alexandria, parts of Libya. Georgia, part of the Black Sea, part of the Mediterranean Sea. Europe, by the way, is not included. By the way, hey, this is not personal. I just drew a line. Okay, and you can do it. Anybody can do it. Just go to Jerusalem, put a compass, measure your 1,500, and draw a circle around it. So there's no prejudice here. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with the facts of life. I mean, hey. Well, we knew that's where we'd come up out anyway in the future. It takes in the Nile River, all of those things, the Red Sea, all of these areas. Yep, I mean, hey. I mean, everybody should think about it. Okay, what's the distance from Jerusalem? We're talking about Tunis. That's 1,464 miles. And you can get on any map or you can go online and you can see what the distances are. So mine is not special. And Tunis is part of Africa. Then you have Baghdad. It will be 549 miles. We have Cairo, Egypt is only 263 miles. Now remember, we're talking about 1,500 miles. So these things are, you know, included as part of it. Alexandria, Egypt is only 309 miles. We have Athens, Greece, which is 773 miles, and we have Rome in Italy, which is 1,429 miles. Okay, so I was just trying to give you, you know, some idea of how huge this city is that Yahweh is setting up. Okay, when we read Revelation chapter 22, he talks about the people that will enter the city and the people that will not enter the city. Okay. Verse 23 and 24. Of Revelation chapter 22. 23 and 24. Sorry. I believe it's chapter 21. 23 and 24. But there is no 20 in chapter 22, there is no 24 verses. Okay, so sorry. Chapter 21, verses 23 and 24. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of Yahweh did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the gold and the honor of the nations unto it. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the book of life. So we do have two groups. One group is outside the city, and one group is in the city. The righteous people that Yahweh has, they are in the city. The wicked people that we're teaching, they're outside the city because they encompass the rest of the world. Only talking about 1,500 miles surrounding Jerusalem is that his kingdom. Everybody else is outside of that. So he lets us know that there'll be two parts. So that's why when it reads that in the mountains of Yahweh, that's where the lamb will be laying down with the sheep and the goats and the lions and the bears, and they won't be killing each other, and the kids will be able to play over the viper's nest. Now, all of those things are happening in his holy city. not outside. Outside is still the same thing. Everybody with their wickedness, everybody with the animals, still eating animals, all the rest of the stuff, because he didn't redo the whole planet yet. All he did was just bring down his city, and he's setting up. And for 1,000 years, they're going to see how to live righteous. Something we obviously don't see today. But this is what he's going to give to us as his gift. Okay, and we read about the gates not being shut already. 22, 27. Okay, we read that there shall be in it nothing that causes an abomination or maketh a lie. This is all chapter 21. Okay. So he makes clear who's going to enter in and who is not going to enter in. Okay, so that's chapter 22. So I'm hoping that you have a better feel of where we shall reign, who shall we be reigning over, and who we will not be reigning over. Well, at this point, we'll conclude. Our time is up. And next week, we'll be able to come down and come to our final conclusion on who's going to be in the city, out of the city, how we will train the people, how we will be ambassadors for Yeshua, how we will be priests for him, and the wicked people, or the people that had been left on the earth after the massacre of the army, how they will realize that, hey, this is the righteous king, man. We want to serve him. We want to learn him. So that means that what? They had not learned about him really in the past. But now they will have 1,000 years to live and reign with the Messiah. May Yahweh bless you. May he keep you. May his wonderful grace pour upon you. And if you want any of our information, it's there. Visit our website, www.peopleofcolor1. That's www.peopleofcolor1.com. Thank you. May Yahweh bless you. May his wonderful grace be upon you, and may he give you peace.